720 WGN, I'm John Landecker with Eric Peterson on the phone, who you may not know, but you will, because he co-stars in one of the more challenging bits of programming I've ever seen, which is on AMC and AMC Plus. It's called Kevin Can F Himself. And you, Eric, are Kevin, so go F yourself, will you? I mean, really.
That's good.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Okay, now that is the name of the show, but let's go back to the beginning. You are from the Chicagoland area.
I am indeed. I was born in Hoffman Estates, but grew up most of my life in Carroll Stream.
Yeah.
Went to Glenbard North High School, class of 99.
Yeah!
And then went to college at Bradley University in Peoria.
And as a theater major.
Yes, indeed.
And I'm looking at, my daughter also is an actor, and I have a theory that every single movie and television actor has at one time or another in their career been on some version of Law and Order. I mean, really, it's true. You were on Law and Order, right?
Or, I was on Law and Order, and I was on Law and Order SVU.
Exactly.
And I did both of them. Yeah. I think there was like four or five different iterations, but I did two of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny. I actually have a friend who did a show with me once named Chris Sieber, who's a very super accomplished TV and theater actor in New York. And he used to famously put in his bio that he had never been cast in Law and Order, just to try to make it happen. And then eventually it did.
Everybody does it.
You sort of have to do it. It's a rite of passage.
I'd been kidding my daughter about it for years, and it was a Tony Awards. Oh gosh, it must have been 4 or 5 years ago, where they did that.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. They referenced the fact that everybody had been on Law.
Yeah, they took a shot of the nominee in the crowd, in the audience, and then next to him or her put the corresponding character that they were on whatever episode of Law and Order. And I got a
totally.
I got a message from my daughter. Hey, Dad, they just did your bit.
I love that.
So you've been in musicals and on Broadway. The School of Rock, you're going to be in Escape to Margaritaville, which obviously is the music of Jimmy Buffett.
We did it on Broadway, but we also did the out of town tryout in Chicago.
Right.
In 2018, something like that, I think.
Now this show though, this Kevin Can F Himself.
Yep.
Is every review that I've read of it, no one knows how to describe it. I mean, seriously, seriously. Now, first,
let me try.
Well, first of all,
this is the best.
Let me say first of all that Annie Murphy, who was in Schitt's Creek, is in this playing your wife.
Yes.
Okay. Now we've got that established. Go for it.
So Kevin Can F Himself is it's a new show on AMC. It's an hour long show. It's airing on Sunday nights at 9 Eastern, 8 Central. Mm-hmm. And basically what it does is it takes the classic trope or archetype of the sitcom wife, and it starts to follow her story. So our show really kind of explains what it is in the first 5 minutes of watching it. The show opens in a brightly lit sort of classic sitcom living room set. I play Kevin, who is a sort of stereotypical sitcom husband. He's a kind of a schlubby guy who's always up to hijinks and schemes, and he has his buddies around, and we're all sort of playing beer pong, and my wife Allison, who's played by the amazing Annie Murphy, comes in and says, honey, can we keep it down, we got to go do something else. And as she sort of rolls her eyes and goes into the kitchen, most sitcoms would just, she would go into the kitchen, we wouldn't see her for a few scenes, but in our show the camera, instead, as soon as she crosses into the kitchen, smash cuts to a single camera, dark, gritty, more cinematic feel, and we get to see what her life is really like when she's not around her husband.
Anytime
she's with me, it feels like a classic multicam sitcom, and anytime she's by herself, it feels like a dark, gritty AMC drama.
You have to see this to understand what's going on. even though that was a perfect description. I'm watching the show, right? I'm watching the show and going, okay, what's so special about this? I mean, this is funny, I guess, but it looks just like every other sitcom I've ever seen. You're funny. The jokes are funny. Everybody's funny. Your buddy's funny. And then bang, everything went dark. And I'm like, what's going on here? Because something is going on. And then this process of the setup looking just like a sitcom and then a door opening or going outside or going to another room following your wife, it changes to this very dark-looking drama with basically the same people in it. Not so much you and your buddies, but she has a female friend who we see both in the sitcom situations and then again in the
in her real life.
In her real life,
And I shouldn't say maybe real life is wrong because I don't want people to think that when it's in the sitcom that it's not the character of Allison's real life. That is her real life. The best way to think about it is that it's just a different lens. My wife actually made a really good point when we were sort of breaking down what the show is and what it means. She was saying how in the multicam stuff that feels like the sitcom, she said a lot of women in life feel like when they're around a bunch of men or other people, they have to sort of perform. And there's like, oh, let me put on the mask of everything's hunky-dory, everything's great, and I'm going to sort of play my role. But then as soon as like those people go away, i.e. the audience, the studio laughter, the laugh track, the lighting, you get to see how people really feel and really think and have been affected by the jokes that were maybe told at their expense while they were in that situation sort of performing. And so that's really what the show is. It's showing how bad behavior by these classic sitcom husbands really does have an effect on the people around them. And we get to see how she's going to deal with how she's been made to feel over, 10 years of a bad marriage.
Yeah. And at this point in my binging of the show, I've only done like a couple of episodes so far, and I'm not really sure where it's headed. You know what I mean? It's like, where are we going with this? I mean, I get the idea. I get the idea that here we have the sitcom and then we have the dark reality, so to speak, of life intercut with one another, and something.
Well,
don't tell anything. Don't give it away.
I won't give away anything. I think that you get a sense by the end of the first episode of how the character of Allison is feeling and how enraged she is. And the only thing I'll say is that the show is really about her as a character who up to this point had taken no agency or ownership of her own life and her own story, but things have changed now. Now she's made a conscious decision to take ownership of her story. And then obviously a lot of things will happen because of that.
Well, the show has gotten, and I've got a lot of questions that we're going to get to before we're through this evening. One of the reviews I read describes it as a smart, beautiful woman hitched to an immature, dumpy narcissist, which would be you.
Yes, it is.
And I mean, there's this scene that you're trying. Oh gosh, it's a classic sitcom. You know, we're not romantic enough. Do something for me, honey. And you go, okay, we're gonna look what I did for you. Now go make the food, or would you get me a beer? I mean, that's the conclusion to this relationship in a sitcom situation. But it's obvious that that's a commentary on domestic roles that are prevalent today.
And what I think is interesting about the show in that light is that while it is clearly the show is taking aim at sitcoms in the way that marriages are portrayed in classic American sitcoms over the years, sadly, I don't think sometimes that it's that far off from reality. I think a lot of women will watch this show and feel really seen and really heard and really like, yes, finally, a sitcom wife standing up for herself. And so I think that obviously the message of female empowerment and ownership of your story and your life is prevalent in our show. But I also think that a lot of men are going to watch the show and sort of maybe have a little come to Jesus moment of like, oh shoot, I maybe have acted like that at times. Hopefully not all the time, but maybe occasionally I've sort of been a little boorish or buffoonish in that way and thinking it's all just fun and games with me and my buddies, but there are consequences to behaviors. And so I think that it is definitely a shot on like the TV industry, but it's also, I think, true in some reality as well.
We're going to take a break and do more with Eric Peterson from the AMC show, Kevin Can F Himself, when we come back on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, I'm John Landecker with Kevin Peterson. Every time I look at the... Or Eric. Eric. See, I just Eric did it. Too. I just did it.
Let's not confuse me with
exactly what I've been doing all day in my head. Right. I was just going to say, you know, every time I look at your name, and then as I'm saying it, I'm actually doing it. No. You are Eric Peterson, star of Kevin Can F Himself. Not yeah. Eric Can F Himself.
Although,
although maybe Eric can, but that has nothing to do with the show. Which is just, if nothing else, it's so thought-provoking, just in the way that it's done. I've never seen, you know, I was talking to my producer Tom earlier today, and there was that show that was on Disney Plus about WandaVision. And then there was a movie years ago, I think it was called Pleasantville, where people in TV suddenly weren't in TV. They were in reality, and then they were back in TV, and then they were in reality. And I thought your show has a bit of that flavor, only it takes it to a whole different level. I mean, because you never... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, also, I think that, you know, shows like WandaVision or Pleasantville, they, as you said, the characters would sort of leave the reality of TV. In our show, nobody's leaving. These are dual realities happening at the same time. It's not that there is like a TV set or, you know, that the character that Annie Murphy is playing is an actress who's like, you know, playing in a sitcom. This is her real life. It's just viewed through a different lens. Whenever she is with the men in her life, it feels to her and to them as if it is a multicam sitcom. And whenever she's away from them and able to sort of be in charge of her own life and her own story, it feels much more gritty and real.
Who came up with this?
Our creator is a brilliant, brilliant writer named Valerie Armstrong, who, you know, the impetus for the show came from a couple things. One, there was a sort of famous TV industry moment where there was a CBS sitcom called Kevin Can Wait that starred Kevin James.
I know that.
And they killed off their wife character between season one and season two. And after they did, they didn't really give much reason for it. They just kind of said, we were literally running out of ideas, and so we wrote her off. And a lot of people were pretty incensed about that and felt that was, you know, unfair to the sitcom wife character, right?
Right.
And then also, our writer, creator, Valerie Armstrong, she had heard on a podcast these actresses talking about when pilot season comes around, so often their agents would say, all right, for this new sitcom, they actually need a really funny actress. They need like somebody who can really give the great funny lines. But then these actresses would go in for their audition, and their lines would be like, what do you mean, honey? Oh, honey, don't do that again. And they weren't actually funny lines. They weren't given anything to actually do. And so Valerie, who was a writer's assistant at the time, was like, this enrages me. I have things to say about this. She wrote that first 5 minutes of our pilot of a multicam sitcom and the wife crossing into the kitchen and the camera coming close to her and saying, like, I hate my husband, essentially, you know, in less colorful language. And then that's where the idea was born. She pitched it to AMC, and they were like, yes, go make it. And we made it over the last 7 months in Boston.
When did you first audition for this show?
I auditioned back in early 2020, probably January or February of 2020, before everything had shut down. It started just as like any old audition that I get from my agents and managers, you know, saying, hey, here's this new show to play Kevin. I was like, oh, great title. Let's see what this is about. I went in and auditioned. I think one of the things why I was cast was a couple things. I've done a lot of multicam comedy in my past. You know, I did a show called Kirsty on TV Land that was all multicam. I've done Big Bang Theory. I've done Disney Channel shows. So I actually have a pretty good resume backing up my multicam experience. Right. So that was one thing. I knew that part of the show. I knew I could sort of sell that. You know, I was actually teaching a class on multicam acting that had just like finished a few months before that. And they were like, what, you teach this? And I was like, yeah, I do. And they're like, oh, you're great for it. And then the other thing that I think that I did in my audition that I think maybe was different from a lot of guys who looked at this role of Kevin is that I think on the surface, it would be easy to sort of play him as like this just terrible guy who hates his wife and is just always grumpy. And my wife is always bugging me. And sort of play him very sort of on the nose so that the audience would be like, yeah, we don't like Kevin. But what I tried to do was actually make him really lovable and really kind of familiar and feel jovial and positive as much as I could. And then when you find out the different things that he's said and done to his wife or just ignored her or ways that he's, you know, stolen money from her and stuff like that, you sort of are like, oh, I don't like this guy. But I want you, when you watch my show, to feel conflicted about Kevin. I'd like you to sort of be like, he's funny and I like him, but he's also terrible.
One of the reviews, and I think you're going to like this, one of the reviews that I read likened you to a young Jackie Gleason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's high praise. Jackie Gleason is one of my absolute heroes.
Saying there's a touch of Gleason's Ralph Cramden in his delivery as well, twisted around a Massachusetts accent, because that's the location of the of the show. That's you know, I agree. You pulled that off.
Thank you.
It's startling. I don't even know. Kevin, look at this. And listen, Kevin feels that once experimental and straightforward. Okay, great. Now, how am I supposed to decide what the hell that is? But that's exactly but that's exactly what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it is a exciting show. I think it is a show that will absolutely make people have conversations with their friends and spouses. I think it is a show for men and women to watch together, and you should carve out an hour after the show's over to have a little breakdown session with your partner, because I think a lot of people are going to have thoughts and feelings and questions and have a lot to say after watching it.
And we'll have to ask marriage counselors around the country in a few months if they've had...
if there's an uptick.
Yeah. I just want to say this one thing. I want to, from this review, it's conceptually ambitious and never dull. Certainly, it has been intelligently conceived and acted with commitment and spirit. That's... What more can you ask for, right?
That's a good review to me. Well, I think that's great.
As they say, break a leg, and thank you for being with us, Eric. All the best to you.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it.
You bet.